Today we are looking at a new series called The Consummate Believer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And consummate is a word that we are taking from, normally used in connection with marriage. When two people get married, their marriage or their married life begins when they consummate the marriage and the two cease to be two and the two become one. Consummate is a word that describes intimacy, the working together of two people. They are becoming one, their communication, their language, their way of thinking. Hallelujah. So we are looking at the consummate believer, and the three things I'll be talking about. Number one, that we are one with the Word of God. We are born of the Word. Number two, we are born of the Spirit. And number three, we are filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The functioning of the Word and the Spirit in our lives produces an unction, which is the anointing. Hallelujah. So today I'm going to be looking at being born of the Word, being one with the Word of God. And one of the things that we need to realize concerning the Word of God, most of the believers have, I wouldn't say zero understanding, but have no revelation of what the Word of God is. Majority of the people think it's just but a book that we read, but not realizing that the Word of God is more than just the book called the Bible. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, if somebody can open for us in the NIV version, Hebrews 4 verse 12. Hallelujah. My brother, it's been a while. I didn't recognize you with the mask on. How are you doing? I think the last time I met you were at DUT somewhere there. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hebrews 4 verse 12. If you can have the NIV version, I want a specific version. The NIV version. Amen.
Hebrews 4 verse 12.
Uh-huh.
For the word of God is alive and active.
Mm-hmm.
Sharper than any double-edged sword.
Hold it right there. So the Bible says the word of God is what? It's alive and it's active. So there is a difference between the word of God and any other word, and any other literature. And the difference is that the word of God is what? Alive and it's active. Can somebody read the Amplified version? What does it say? Hallelujah.
Hebrews 4, verse 12.
Uh-huh.
For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power.
The word that God speaks is alive. And it is full of what? Power. Making it active. So it is not just mere words. Or is it just but a book of literature? But it says the word of God is active and it's. It is full of power. So the power gives potential to the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Ooh, glorious Jesus.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Glorious
Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Bible is telling us that the word of God is operative, meaning it's not idle, but it has potential and it has power. And the word power there means dynamo. It has the ability to change things. The word of God has the ability to cause changes. Wherever the word of God is applied to, it does not remain the same. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance that you put and apply the word of God to, that situation, that circumstance, it will not remain the same. Why? Because the word of God is alive and the word of God is active. It is full of power that makes it operative. So wherever we are applying the word of God, wherever we are putting the word of God, that thing, that situation, that circumstance, it does not remain the same.
Why? Because the nature of the word of God is that it is operating. That's why the Bible says when the word of God came to Abraham, the word of God, when he spoke and he released the word to the situation and to the life of Abraham, he said, "You shall become the father of nations." What was God doing? He was applying the operative word that changed the situation of Abraham. Hallelujah. When he again spoke the word to Sarai, he said, "She shall not remain barren, but she shall become what? The mother of nations." So the word of God, we see the potential and the operative ability of the word, that wherever it is applied, the word of God produces results. So number one, the word of God is alive. It is active. The word of God is working. It is operative. One of the biggest challenges that believers do is that they engage the word of God in their natural mind. And when they do so, you realize that people will say, "Pastor, I know what the word of God is saying, but my situation is like this." The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the hearers of the word, in the Hebrews chapter 4, that when they heard the word, they did not mix what they heard with faith. So they did not enter into God's rest. In other words, the word of God is already at the operative stage. But what makes the word of God to produce results is when one engages the word with his spirit and one engages the word with faith. Hallelujah. So we have a lot of believers, disciples of Jesus, that are walking frustrated, and their frustration is not that the word of God fails, but their frustration is that they are engaging the word with their own understanding. That is why Jesus would say to Peter, "Who do men say I am?" And when Peter gave the analysis of men, the analysis of men was based on their natural understanding. And again, Peter said, Jesus said to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter responded and says, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Father which is in heaven has revealed this." In other words, Peter engaged the revelation of Jesus by his spirit and by faith. So majority of the times, believers engage the word of God in their natural understanding. That's why you realize some people say, "You know what, I know what the word of God says, but in my own opinion." As long as you still have an opinion, you are engaging the word in your own understanding. You are engaging the word with the word with a carnal mind, with the mind of the flesh. And when you do so, the word does not produce results. Hallelujah. So the nature of the word of God is that the word of God is in a constant state of producing result. The nature of the word of God is that it is in a constant state of producing miracles. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, "My word is like rain. Wherever I release it, it does not come back the same. But wherever it goes, it causes changes there." When rain comes on the earth, what happens? There is growth. Amen. So the word of God has the potential. In other words, it is already in its operative state. But how you engage and how you receive determines what happens in your life. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Ooh, glorious Jesus. Hallelujah. Number two. The word of God has creative ability. Somebody say creative ability. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, the Bible says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God." By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made out of the things which are visible. So the word of God has creative ability. When we go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible tells us that in the beginning the earth was without form, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering upon the surface of the deep. And in verse 3, the Bible says, "And God said." So God spoke the things that we see out of the invisible by the creative ability of his word. You know, most of the times believers are constantly trying to equate what they need They are trying to equate them, their needs for rent. They say, man of God, you don't understand. My account is such and such. Man of God, you don't understand. My situation is as big as this. The Bible says God created the visible world out of the invisible world through the creative ability of his word. So most of the times people do not know how to engage the word of God so that it creates out of the invisible a situation, out of the invisible a miracle, out of the invisible healing. The Bible says the worlds were created, meaning there is ability in the word of God to bring things that are not as though they are. Apostle Paul says in the book of Corinthians, he says, we believe, therefore we do what? We speak. Hallelujah. Meaning in circumstances, in situations, there is the ability of the word that God has given the word to create things that are not there as though they are. Hebrews chapter 4. The Bible says that God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham believed that God would raise the dead. When you continue to read in Hebrews chapter 11, it says Abraham offered Isaac, believing that God would bring him back from the dead. Meaning he saw from the invisible the character and the nature of our God. That if God spoke his word and I had a son, I'll give it back to him and I'll receive him back from God. In other words, he saw the creative nature and ability of God. So it doesn't matter what you are going through. It doesn't matter what situation you are faced with. The word of God has the ability to create things into being. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, say there is creative ability in the word of God. Check, the Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel that Hannah had no child. What did Hannah do? She prayed. But you see, most of the time, in as much as we love prayer, we like prayer, most believers are in the mode of just praying and not waiting for a word to be released. So most of the time you meet people, they are saying, "Man of God, I've been praying for 6 months, for 7 months. You don't understand. I'm at the verge of quitting. I don't want to pray for this anymore." The Bible says Hannah prayed. When she prayed, the man of God released a word. So it was not just the prayer Hannah did, but it was the word that had creative ability. The man of God says, "Let it be done to you as you are praying, as you desire, by this time next year." So what made the change was the word that Hannah released when she prayed. So most situations are going unchanged. Most circumstances are going unmoved, unchanged. Not because believers are not praying, but believers have not yet mastered to tap into the creative ability of God. Apostle Paul says, "And the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." So when I pray, I receive words. When I receive that word, that becomes my creative word in situations and in circumstances. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? So majority of the times, people have prayed. And when God was about to respond, they left the prayer without a creative word. Say, "Man of God, I'm not understanding what's going on." The word of God has creative ability. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, say creative ability. When you read Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, another character of the word, the Bible says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power." So it, not only does it have creative ability, but it has the ability to uphold it. In other words, it keeps everything together. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In other words, you don't wake up one day seeing the sun coming out of your room. You know, you're waking up as you're putting your blankets there. The sun is rising from your blankets. But the word of God has the ability to uphold every star. As the earth is rotating, you know, it is rotating 365 days of the year. We are not in any state saying there's something that is falling from the sky coming to hit the earth. Why? Because the word of God, the Bible says, it has the ability to hold. Ooh, hallelujah. Says, upholding all things by the word of his power. We are living here in Devon. When you go to the beach, have you seen how the waves rage? You see a huge, you know, wave rising. By the moment that it gets to the beach, all of a sudden it's as if that rage that was in the wave suddenly disappears. All of a sudden the water knows where to end and it goes back into the sea. Why? Because the Bible says the word of God has the ability to uphold all things together. You know, there are times that believers don't come to church. They say, man of God, I'll come to church when things are fine with me. When I finally put all the pieces of the puzzle together, you will see me next Sunday. My brother, my sister, you have no ability to hold anything together. But His word, the reason why you should continuously hear the word, it is because of His ability to hold your life together.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, God speaking to Job in the book of Job, Job 38. The word of God says, it is God that laid the foundation. Actually, God was asking Job questions. He said, were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? And He says, when I measured the dimensions of the world. Remember, God did not come and start to use His hand. The Bible says, God said. So when He laid whatever that holds the earth together, the foundation of the earth, it is kept by the word of God. I don't know if somebody's hearing what I'm saying here. Hallelujah. So there is no mountain that is too high. There is no situation that is too high. There is no sickness that will not obey His word. There is no circumstance that will not change. If God could speak and the world listened, what if He speaks into your life? What will happen in your life? Amen and amen. The word of God is eternal. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 7 and 8. It says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord, it remains forever. In other words, it is the eternal life, that same eternal life that God has. The word of God has eternity within it. Everything else may disappear. If you really want to check the history of the world, you know, since the death and the resurrection of Christ, you realize there were many successions that happened in the world. Many kingdoms rose and many kingdoms fell. But there was one consistent thing that remained forever. Again, if you check the Bible, you know, the history of the world tells us there was a period called the Dark Ages, where they did not want the word of God to spread, where they limited the word of God. In other words, they did not want anybody else unless they allow you to say you are a minister of the gospel. People were limited. Who will speak the word? Who will do this? Who will minister? Who will do that? And the word of God was only in one language. It was in Latin. And they thought they would control. But what happened? The Bible says the flowers do what? Fade. The grass withers. But the word of God remains. So through the successive ages, there is one constant thing. World War I came, it went. World War II, it came and it went. But one thing remained and it remains forever. The word of God has eternal life in it. Nothing can stop the word of God. Hallelujah. Nothing can hinder His word. Amen. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 3 that after Peter and John had healed the men by the beautiful gate, they were arrested by the Sanhedrin. And the Bible says they commanded them not to speak the words of God and not to minister in the name of Jesus. And they put them in prison. But whilst the man was in prison, the Bible says an angel of the Lord appeared. Why? Because no matter how much you chain people that minister the word of God cannot be chained. It is the eternal ability of God. It cannot be contained. Acts chapter 8 and 9, the Bible says, a young man arose by the name of Saul, killing everybody that was ministering the word of God, standing by Stephen. But when you check the history, the Bible says that was the spreading, that initial persecution was the one that caused the word of God to spread all over the world. Why? Because the word cannot be contained. They were only in Jerusalem, but the moment they tried to hinder the word, the Bible says, and then arose Philip, an evangelist, and he went into the town of Samaria. As he ministered, upon hearing and seeing the miracles, the whole town was turned upside down. They believed in Jesus, and they went into other cities. They went to Joppa. They raised the dead. Why? Because the word of God cannot be contained. If the word cannot be contained, what does it say about you that believe in His word? When you have the word of God, you cannot be contained. When you engage the word of God by faith, you cannot be contained.
Come on, there's nothing that can limit you. There is nothing that can stop you. Are you hearing this?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let's read the Bible in the book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. Can you read, brother? Yes.
John chapter 1, verse 1.
Yeah.
In the beginning, before all time, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him. And without Him was not even one thing made that had come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Can you see that? It says in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I like verse 4. We'll come back to the other verses. It says in Him, talking about the Word. In Him was what? Life. And that life is the light of men. In other words, it is not only eternal, but the Word of God also possesses eternal light. That's why David would write in the book of Psalms, he would say, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. Why? Because in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. So the Word of God has the ability to bring light into your life. You know, many are the times that you meet people and they are distressed. Many are the times that you meet people and they are not happy. They are not, you know, they are bitter about what's happening in their life. And they are saying, man of God, I don't understand what's going on. It's as if there's darkness around me. The Bible says, in Him the Word was light, and that light was the light of men. Read verse 5. What does it say?
And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness is never overpowered.
And the light shines in darkness. So the Word of God is light that shines in darkness. Hallelujah. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So meaning there is no way that a believer can be confused. There is no way that a believer would not know which next step to take in life. Why? Because the word of the Lord guides you. Where there is darkness, it illuminates and it brings light. Where there is no light, it brings what? Light. There is no believer that can walk in confusion. There is no believer that says, man of God, I don't know how my things are not working. The Bible says here, and the light shines in darkness. Meaning whatever dark situation you find yourself in, as long as you have the Word, the Bible says the light shines in darkness. And it goes on to say, and the darkness has not yet comprehended. Another version of the Bible says, and the darkness has not yet overcome the light. Meaning every believer that has the Word of God, it doesn't matter what spirit that comes from the deepest darkness of hell. As long as you have the Word of God, darkness cannot overcome you. The Word of God makes you a victor. I don't know if somebody's hearing what I'm saying here. Oh, hallelujah. See, man of God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what the situation is like. The Bible says, in Him was life. Eternal life. And that same life was the life of men. You know, your finances cannot remain in darkness. Your health cannot remain in darkness. Why? Because the light shines in darkness. Are you hearing this? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This one says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'll jump to verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh, and He dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in other words, another nature of the Word is that the Word of God is personified in the person of Jesus Christ. It is not ordinary. Jesus is the personification of the Word of God. That's why the Bible tells us in every city that he would go, lives would change. Why? Because he became flesh. The Bible says, and the word became what? Flesh. He is the person.